What type of work environment inspires you? Do you prefer hierarchy or freedom, boundaries or openness, tradition or blazing new trails? People approach the workplace differently. The challenge is, how do you navigate those differences? Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 126 of the Resilient Journey podcast, presented by the Resilience Think Tank. This week, we welcome Steph McCluskey to the podcast. Steph and Mark leverage their presentation from DRJ Spring to talk about working across different mindsets that we find in today's workforce. They talk about the importance of respecting other points of view and how to embrace integration and collaboration. Steph explains how to surround yourself with people who will help you build a mindset of growth, learning, and curiosity. Whether you're about to retire or just new to the industry, this episode will help you bridge the gap between different mindsets and rejuvenate your career.
Steph, welcome to the podcast. We're old pals here now. Like, we just were together in Orlando at DRJ Spring. Start off by introducing yourself.
Well, I'm Steph McCluskey. I met you, Mark, at the last DRJ. So I was working in resiliency as a project manager for business continuity at that time. I've since moved into a GRC program manager role. And my kind of way back, I guess not so way back, background is from law enforcement. So very happy to be here on your show. I was listening to it while we were at DRJ as well. And it's always great to kind of hear what everyone else is thinking and talking about in that resiliency world.
Yeah, you, like you said, you and I met in Phoenix, and you were telling me that you had an idea for a presentation, but you had never presented. And I'm like, well, I think I can help, you know, get us over that hurdle. And so we collaborated on this. And so what we're talking about today is the basis of the presentation that we did in Orlando. Mm-hmm. Our title of that was Moving Between Legacy and Velocity. And we were talking about a couple of different mindsets. And we're going to pull out some of that. And we're going to focus on maybe the interconnectivity or the integration of different mindsets. Maybe it's different generations and things like that. So, one of the first slides you put up had an interesting title. You were talking about tension. What were you trying to communicate there?
Yes. So initially, I wasn't sure what I was going to name it, because what I wanted to talk about was really figuring out where our natural tendencies are as far as the values that we have in ourselves as individuals, because those values, we carry them everywhere we go, right? We carry them outside of work and inside of work. And if we're not aware of our values, it can be really hard for us to articulate when something is out of alignment, which is when we start to feel tension. And especially, as you and I talked about, when we start to get the multi-generational workplace and get a lot more diversity in the workplace, which is so incredible for when you're trying to make positive change and get velocity on good ideas. But it also brings with it some tensions, because folks tend to come to the table where we're all these individual people, but we maybe don't know what everyone's values are. And so I named that slide tension because I showed kind of a visual of some potential polarities mm-hmm. of where people might fall on their values. And so some examples were, you know, having really strict hierarchy versus a ton of freedom. And, you know, the polarities I came up with, they might be different for other individuals where they see opposites, but these were some examples to kind of get the wheels turning on where you might fall on a spectrum. You know, some other ones that we talked about was maybe stability is one end of the spectrum, where, you know, excitement and change is another. So thinking about where you naturally fall can be a great starting point for what you value.
It's interesting, because one of the ones that I had kind of two points about this slide, and one I made in the presentation, and one just occurred to me, is things like you have here, tradition would maybe be more of a legacy kind of a way of looking at things. And it goes beyond just the workplace. Like, there are people who really depend on tradition as just as part of their life.
Well, the way we eat Thanksgiving dinner, right? Like, the certain dishes you expect to be there. And maybe it's something that you have every year and that's your tradition. And it's not until it's not there that you realize how much it meant to you, and you're maybe spinning and you get that tension point of, why didn't you make the famous mashed potatoes we have every year?
Exactly. No, you're right. And thanks for jumping in on that, because it can even be whether or not you celebrate certain traditions anymore. You know, different people have different views. And so to be able to talk about things like that, you know, you can use the family setting as an example, but think about how much even broader it gets when you think about, you know, a diverse workforce and their approach to doing things. The other thing that we talked about on this slide is that it's not just a straight line. You might have sort of legacy views of things like hard work and stability and tradition, but you also might enjoy creativity and freedom, some of the things that you might think of, you know, being more in that future growth mindset. And so it's important for people to understand a little bit about that it's not a straight line, and they may have different points of view, and they're going to have a blended approach to things, right?
Exactly. And you and I talked about it, and I think we did touch on it in our presentation too, is not only having awareness of where you naturally fall as far as the values that you bring to the table, but also what people expect of you. And that's going to impact potentially how they approach you, what they assume you're going to respond with. And we, you know, we ourselves had some great surprises of some feedback from our audience of people that maybe we assumed would think in a legacy mindset, actually self, you know, identifying as a much more agile and nimble approach to doing their work.
Yeah, no, you're right. One of the things we also presented was how to bridge the gap between these different mindsets. And there are some prerequisites, I think, in order to be effective in this area. Ideally, what we want to do is we want to get to a point where we can think collaboratively, regardless of who we work with, because there is value in collaborating and working together. But to really make that successful, I think that we have to start from a position of respect. You and I, for example, and we've had some very long, very interesting conversations, we don't necessarily agree on everything. That doesn't make you wrong or me wrong. What it makes us is different. We have different points of view. And what we need to do is respect each other as people, as colleagues. And when we put this presentation together, you know, you had points of view that I hadn't considered that really made this a lot better. So it's really good for us to think like that. And we even talked about in our presentation of thinking like a moderate.
Yes.
There's so much extreme thinking anymore, it seems. And we get trapped in that. It turns into an us versus them. Where if we're thinking like a moderate, like a centrist, whatever word you want to use, I don't care. In non-extreme terms, to be willing to collaborate. The end result of that is you get rejuvenated, you get energized, you realize that the sum is more than the parts, and it really, really is beneficial to whatever it is you're trying to do, whether it's a program or a project or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. And you and I are the perfect example of, you know, two very different people with, you know, different backgrounds and life experience and coming to the table. And when we think like a moderate, like you're saying, what it really does is it gives you the ability to come in with a curious mind and to see when greatness is brought to the table. And it can really catalyze where, you know, in our example for us working together, it was, I had an idea, but I didn't know how to get it to a finish line. I'd never gone through how to get to a presentation. Whereas you came in and said, I've done that, you know, many times, and that's not an issue. Let's start talking about what value we're going to bring, because the back end stuff, you're going to handle it. And I, you know, I learned a ton, but we really were able to catalyze and make, you know, what started as just an idea into something that I think turned out really great.
I think so too. I got very good feedback, and I know you did as well. And I can tell you that it's not a presentation that I would have made if I hadn't met you. And that's not to say that it's not a valuable presentation, because clearly I think it is. It's just, I wouldn't have thought of the things and the concepts that you brought to the table. Mm-hmm. I do have to tell you though, you massively disappointed me. I've been making this reference all along saying, you know, we're the Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga of DRJ. And you had to admit something to me, didn't you? What was it?
I did. You know, I cannot sing as well as Lady Gaga, unfortunately. But that also might be why I'm here and in this space rather than on stage singing every night or, you know, having a Vegas show. So maybe it worked out in our benefit.
Do you have any clothing made out of meat?
I don't. I don't dress as wild as Lady Gaga.
No.
Maybe I should have tried that for our presentation.
Yeah, maybe. That would have been, wow, that would have, and it's funny, I was just going to say the room we were in was cold. It was like 60 degrees, so it was almost like a meat freezer, so you would have been just fine.
Would have been fine.
Yeah. Hey, you were talking about embracing integration and collaboration. What's that all about?
Yes. So I think one of the things that all of us have heard is you got to integrate. You need to collaborate. We know that these are important things to do. And what I've noticed is that we tend to get in this great big room and ask everyone for their input. And we say, oh, we're collaborating, we're integrating. Isn't this great? And then we leave the meeting and we all just go to our cubicle or our office and do what we were going to do anyway. And so the challenge that I posed to our audience was to think about decoupling a little bit from our work, which can seem really counterintuitive because those of us in resiliency, we tend to take a lot of personal pride and personal responsibility for being the helpers, being the fixers, coming into the chaos and making sense of it. But what I really mean is that if we decouple a little bit and make the work something separate from us as an individual, it allows everyone to come around the work. And if we're really using what you and I talked about, the respect and coming with a place of curiosity and wanting to learn and grow and change, we can find the gold that everyone brings to the table and catalyze it into something better. And so, truly, that's where we can get to that integration and collaboration. You have to have a willingness to step back a little bit from yourself, your plan, your execution, and actually take some of the input and try it out.
Now, there's a bad way to collaborate too, though, right?
Oh, there sure is. So, I think part of this drive and this push to collaborate puts us in a position where we say, fine, I'll collaborate, which we think is consensus. Right, doing consensus-driven work. And if you look at different leadership styles, and people will say, you know, we're always driving for consensus. But what can happen is you end up really holding your group hostage if you wait to execute until you have consensus. And it's important to note that our teams have people that maybe aren't big on doing the planning and having an opinion on the front end, but they're really, really solid with execution. Folks that say, if you bring me a plan, I will bring it to life. And you really need to capitalize on those folks. They're really, I mean, the meat of what you're doing, right? You maybe build the framework, but they're the ones that drive it to that execution and completion. So what I like to talk about is weaponized collaboration, which is what I see with forcing everyone to have an opinion before you move forward. I really encourage everyone to think about giving folks the ability and respecting them and saying, you know, I actually don't have input on this, and letting that be okay. It's not a sign that they're not engaged. It's not a sign that they don't care. It might just be their different style, their different strengths and skill set.
I had the opportunity to talk about something where we had a picture on the screen of a person helping another person to the top of a hill. And we talked about what did the audience perceive that to mean? Was that the, you know, traditional legacy person at the top of the hill helping the, you know, more velocity, future growth mindset person up, or was it the other way around? Our audience was too smart for that. They were like, well, it depends. You know, it can be either. And they're exactly right. The point here is that sometimes we're going to be able to take advantage of this different point of view that we have. And sometimes that velocity mindset person is going to have insights into things that the legacy person won't. But sometimes the legacy person, maybe it's through experience or whatever, might be able to say, no, I've been around this block before. I know where the dogs are. We need to be careful about this. And last time we tried this and it didn't work, and they might have some insights. So one of the things that we talked about was the need to share lessons learned. And you don't have to be somebody with 30 years experience to be the only one in the room that can pass on valuable lessons learned. And one of the things we talked about was when my kids were little, I was thirsty. I wanted to get some juice, and I went to the cabinet, and all of those little, you know, what are they, half cup or whatever, small glasses were dirty. And I went, oh. And my daughter, she might have been maybe 5 or 6 at the time, she goes, what's wrong? And I said, well, I wanted some juice, but all of the little glasses are gone. And she said, well, use a bigger glass. And I said, well, but I don't want that much. And she said, well, just because you use a bigger glass doesn't mean you have to fill it up. I was like, oh, okay. Yes, you're so smart. Go away. The point of that in this context is that sometimes we need to be open for ideas and suggestions, and in that case, real insight from someone or from somewhere where we might not expect it. And yes, we are doing ourselves a massive disservice if we just discount someone because they have a different approach or a different historical point of view or whatever. And that's really important for all of us to learn.
Yeah. And I do want to add to that with you, you know, sharing about lessons learned. I think a barrier to sharing lessons learned can really have to do with the culture, right? So if we're in a place where if you make a mistake, you're kind of beat down or you're discounted or folks are not treating you well, or, you know, that can really make it difficult to share lessons learned. That's the reason why it's something we have to remind ourselves of and remind it as a valuable tool. And I will share, you know, coming into the private sector, that's been a little bit of a shift for me. So when I was in law enforcement, we actually would do a roundtable at roll call for every single shift. And one of the things that was brought up at this roundtable was essentially asking, you know, what's the dumbest thing you did last shift? And that was because we learn from mistakes. I think all of us can remember our mess ups so much more easily than our wins. And the goal of that was, you know, if you're sharing those things, it really should be that you're giving a gift to the people around you and saying, I learned this thing the hard way, and I'm going to gift it to you so you don't have to. And so I think it's so important to kind of flip the script a little bit, where when you're doing a lessons learned, the person that shares kind of the worst mistake or the, you know, quote, the dumbest thing they did, that's actually an incredible gift that they're giving to their team at that moment. Keep that in mind, that when you are sharing lessons learned, that that's you giving a gift, and it is absolutely vulnerable. And depending on the climate that you're in, you have to think about the risk, of course. You know, if you're in a space where you sharing your mistakes and lessons learned is not going to benefit you, you have to balance that. So we can say, share, please, you know, give that gift to your team, but we also recognize everyone's in a different environment. And so kind of taking that into account as well.
And listen, it's, you know, don't be so full of yourself or take yourself so seriously. Everybody's a bonehead once in a while. And it's okay to be able to share that. Now, we have time, so I'd like to ask you about something else you talked about, and that's partnered agility and adaptability. What were you going for there?
So what I was going for there is, I think, you know, partnered agility, it sounds like an oxymoron, right? You think I can move a lot faster and I can get a lot more done by myself. But the thing is it's really difficult to see your own blind spots. And so I encouraged our audience to really think about building a cabinet and people around them that have care and want you to succeed, but are also willing to tell you the hard stuff, that are willing to share their lessons learned, that are willing to give you input and feedback on how to learn and grow. I mean, growth is hard, right? I think we need to acknowledge that change, it feels like, you know, you're in a box and someone's shaking it. It's not always a great feeling. But when you're building your cabinet, I would say be really strategic about it. So don't only reach, you know, sideways to peers, or don't only reach up to management, but also think about the people that are newer to the company, potentially have a different perspective, and really get a diverse cabinet around you. And one of the kind of cheat codes, I would say is, and I shared the story with you, that I ended up having some mentor sessions with, I think he was a VP of finance at the time, somebody in a very large company that I would not have had access to had I not kind of had the audacity to ask a question in a small group that kind of built some rapport. And he was on his way towards retirement, meaning his schedule was starting to free up. And maybe he was in a mindset of, I should pass on some legacy, you know, and maybe more willing to be candid and answer my questions as a mentee. And so you can kind of think about non-traditional avenues to get on people's calendars. And that's one of them. And if you're somebody that's facing retirement yourself, please think about passing on your incredible, you know, legacy of knowledge, and be, you know, be candid with the folks that are willing to take that from you. Because your value doesn't end, you know, at the end of your career. If anything, you've won. So like share with everyone, you know, how did you figure that out?
One of the things that you said there that I really liked is that, you know, sometimes we get stuck only talking to people like us.
Oh, yes.
And it's really important to get that different point of view. And that's something that we always talk about. Well, you know, what was your most valuable lesson or your most valuable session at DRJ or whatever conference you go to? And I was telling you that DRJ Fall, the most valuable thing that happened to me was that you and I met and we ended up doing this presentation. As far as spring goes, I would say that it's, I got to spend time with people who look at things a little bit differently than I do, not tremendously different, but a little bit different. And they have inspired me. They've inspired me to change and to do things a little bit differently. And, you know, that's kind of what you're talking about here, right? This is all about bridging gaps and learning to work together and maybe thinking of things a little bit differently.
And I love that you use the word inspired, because that's really how I feel after going to a conference, is I feel inspired. And I think it gives us the opportunity to kind of zoom in and out and change our perspective on what we're doing, because it's so easy to be very overloaded. And I think this was brought up by one of the attendees of our session, the idea of, well, this is the way we've always done it. I think it's so easy to get caught up in that, no matter how long you've been in your career or your industry.
Yeah.
And so
I
taking
agree
the opportunity to be inspired. I really love that. And I think our topic, it's kind of a softer, squishier topic. So, you know, it's, we talk about soft skills, versus more technical hard skills, but you and I discussed, you know, it's just so important to think about not necessarily how you do your work, right? That's technical. There's going to be arguments for pros and cons for everything. And that's important work, but I would argue it's more important to think about who you are when you do the work.
We spend a lot of time talking about what to do. Sometimes we don't talk enough about why or how. And not just, again, like you said, not just the technical stuff, but executing those soft skills. One of the things we talked about too, and we don't have time to get into it, is we used an example of a woman who's got her own podcast, and somebody had written into her saying, you need to help me. I'm a hiring manager. I just hired a Gen Z worker who works from 9 to 5 and wouldn't come in for an 8 o'clock meeting because they had a workout class. And we talked about the different perspectives of older people who are like, that's crazy, just go into the meeting, versus somebody with a different perspective who really emphasizes work-life balance and things like that. What was your takeaway, not so much from the story, from the podcast, but from the reaction of people in the room as we discussed it?
Well, this was a very lively conversation. It really got people thinking. And I thought what was refreshing was how many people were advocating for the employee and saying, you know, as a manager, I would advocate for the boundaries. I would advocate for that employee. What was the working agreement was another like piece of gold that came out of that is, there was a gal in the session that said, well, I don't operate in any capacity without agreements. And I thought that was really wonderful for her and her team. And it was something we talked about in our presentation as well, which was iterative ways of working. So having those conversations, and rather than assuming, rather than working in a space where there's just an assumption of how things are going to be done, you know, when you're going to turn your camera on, when you're going to log in, what, you know, just all of these assumed ways of working, but really having verbal agreements where you know and understand. And there's a quote by Brené Brown where she talks about being clear is being kind. And I wholeheartedly agree. But you can't have clarity without coming to the table and having those discussions.
We all know how difficult it is to work in an environment where it's not a good culture, and we feel like we want to try to change the culture, but we're intimidated by such a daunting task. I like when you were talking about radiating innovation. You have a different approach to this whole changing culture thing, don't you?
I do. So I'm actually a generative coach as well. So I have a lot of conversations with people about their work environment and how they're showing up to work versus what they want it to be. And oftentimes there's a gap between those things, right? And so I put together just kind of a small math algorithm to talk about how do you change culture? And I think it's important to think about climate. So climate is, it's your daily actions. It's how you show up with your team, with the people that you're touching every day and what you're creating together. And your climate, it's really your climate plus time that equals culture. So if you're able to every day start chipping away at the way that you want work to feel and be, over time, you're creating that new culture. I think it can feel really overwhelming when you're saying, I want to change culture, or we have a toxic culture. It just feels like it is what it is, and there's no way one individual can make an impact on that. But I would encourage everyone listening to think about how their daily actions create a climate, and over time, that time plus climate, it equals your culture.
All right, so it's the music portion of the program now. So I know that this was the question out of all of this that probably gave you the most stress.
Yes.
We didn't have the opportunity to do this. I wish we did have walk-up music when we did our presentation. But if you had to pick a song that would play as you walk to the podium to speak, what song would it be and why?
So, in preparing for this, I knew this question was going to come up because I've listened to your other episodes. And I went through all of my playlists and was, really deep diving in to figure out what it was going to be. And then you'll find this funny. Of course, it's Dolly Parton. When we played the game of who would you want to see in concert, my
That's right.
immediate answer was Dolly. But it's her song 9 to 5. And I read the lyrics again today. I thought I had them memorized and I was pretty dang close. But the reason being is, A, I mean, Dolly Parton just seems like such a wonderful person.
Yeah.
She's got such great energy. And that song is just so fun, right? It kind of gets you pumped up. And there is a line in there about people taking your ideas and not giving you credit. And there's other things about, climbing the ladder. And,
Yeah.
I'm so fortunate to come after incredible people who have made the path forward a lot smoother for, women in resiliency. And but there's, of course, there's always work to be done, right? And so I just feel like that song is such a fun encapsulation of us just kind of running and jobbing and all of the chaos, but still, still smiling, still having fun, and having that high energy. You probably tell anyone who's met me, I really love to have good energy. I love to enjoy what I'm doing and, put myself out there very, I think, authentically and just show up and see what the day is going to bring.
Yeah, I love that song. I love it for you. That's such a good choice. And we're going to hear it here in just a second. Steph, how can people connect with you?
And so please find me on LinkedIn, Stephanie McCluskey. That's going to be the best way to get in touch with me is going to be the LinkedIn platform.
I wasn't kidding when I said that the best thing that happened to me at DRJ Fall in 2023 was that we met. I want to thank you for your leadership and thank you for inspiring me. And also, thank you for taking the time to do this. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Of course, it's always fun talking with you, Mark. Thank you.
We want to thank Steph McCluskey for joining us this week and talking about bridging the gap across a multi-generational workforce. The Resilient Journey is a Resilience Think Tank production. You may have heard that the Resilience Think Tank has formed two strategic partnerships within the past couple of weeks. We've announced partnerships with DRJ and ACP. Learn more at resiliencethinktank.com. We have another great guest lined up for next week, so join us, won't you, as we continue our resilient journey.
Tumble out of bed and stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping, out on the streets the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5.